434-1790. You can reach us at 262-IVOB for the WhatsApp messages, or brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net for the email. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, sir.
If you remember how John Travolta got his start, you know what that said. Remember how John Travolta got his start?
Yes, I do. Yes, sir.
Black Carter.
Yes, I remember that. Yeah. Well, I ain't caught up, but anyhow, cool enough.
A lot of people only remember Travolta from
Travolta for his white suit and his hand in the air.
Yeah.
Tight pants, bell bottoms.
Yeah.
Right. And dripping paint. Sorry.
Yeah, two things. First of all, you can probably educate Mr. Price about the rhythm, how rhythm affects the human body. Because I try to give him a pointer. Me? When you weren't there, I told him to check with you too, because you know about that.
Me?
I think you have the book down that also, don't you?
So there's a whole study called ethnomusicology that, you know, teaches you about rhythms and body.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Maybe mention that, right. So you can probably show it to him. Next time I see him, you get a good understanding of what I'm going to tell him. Second thing, you had me laughing, though.
Right.
When you were talking about the barbarians being accustomed to a certain way of life.
Mm-hmm.
But just last night, I was at work, and I was laughing to myself. I said to myself, Trump got himself in North Korea. But I remember the year when there was a blackout, a electrical blackout, in certain parts of the United States, when the electricity from Canada didn't come through. And all these people outside, they switched to Iraq, where people got away this with electricity. People in Iraq said, we feel sorry for them. Because they're so accustomed to being comfortable with the air conditioning and stuff like that, that they just can't have it.
So, now, and there was a time, I think, when Florida had unusually cool weather, and people were complaining that they had no heating systems. You get accustomed to a style of living, and that's what you are, yeah.
Yeah, back in 1977, because we got high snowfall in Canada, because when I step in my basement apartment to go to work, I step out knee-deep in snow, but I kept on going.
You adjust to the place you are and how you live, sir. And that's why sometimes it is good that we have not been affected by weather systems in the way other Caribbean countries have. But at the same time, I don't think we could ever prepare ourselves if we had to, because the experience is not there and the adjustment would be traumatic. You know, I mean, you take a look at Puerto Rico, which was a semi-thriving economy. They used to produce things, pharmaceuticals. And after all this time, the first choice for people in Puerto Rico after they got hit was to leave, because they would not give up what they were accustomed to. They would leave rather than wait and rebuild. You know, it's so we ain't got nowhere to go. So, you know, we just got to adjust. We just got to adjust.
It's the human mind and conditioning, see?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this thing about trickle-down effect, I think one of the guests on previous panel was speaking about it, and she was saying, really, they should start from the bottom up. You know, this trickle-down effect stuff is proven not to work in all cases. The fact this really came into the conscience of the economists because of Ireland, but it doesn't work. It does not work for all situations.
Yeah, and instead,
it's possible that Trump made a mistake when he gave the tax cuts to the big corporations, expecting the trickle-down effect. But economists were saying that he forgets that these big companies also have to cater to their shareholders, and the shareholders got have to go along with it. The shareholders said, no, we want our money. There's no trickle-down effect. So that's something that we really got to work for. There's a lot of these economic models. Because it's been steady. It's the same thing as Dr. Don Marshall. But the economic models we have now, since 2008, have not been using what they used to use before 2008.
So, let me ask you this question as somebody who I know has one of them fast thinking minds. You think after all these years and all this training, nobody is, let me use the term crazy, but put in inverted commas, crazy enough to say, well, let me design another system because this one just ain't working. But what's the sense of all the training if you don't have at least one or two people who want to buck the system? To me, the system must every once in a while throw up somebody who wants to buck it, either to get it better or to find a new one. It has to happen.
Of course, but
or else we would still be rowing boats as opposed to having boats with engines. There ain't nothing wrong with rowing boats, but you have engines too, you know, and sails.
You see, but there's some people who want the status quo to remain the same.
Well,
and, you know, I'm happy for them.
Of course,
the people out there who look at Bitcoin, for example, the Bitcoin and blockchain. That's one of the reasons as well. Mm-hmm. But they're trying to stop them right now. Chinese putting legislation against them. Some other countries too are going against Bitcoin and blockchain. Of course, they have brilliant minds out there that have already come up with something, I'm sure, but people just simply blocking. We probably don't hear them because they're probably a small group, and so we never hear about them for quite a while.
That's true, sir. That is true. Yep.
Okay, you have a good morning.
You too, sir. I got a nice short WhatsApp message here I can answer. Good morning. Mr. Johnson, you really want to patch the holes in people's $300 jeans? No, they have holes by design. So cut a few more. This is Down to Brass Tacks. 434-1790. You can also reach us at brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net, or you can send the WhatsApp message to 266-IVOB. Good afternoon. I know usually after the long breaks, people tend to walk away from their phones rather than hold it to theirs. So let's try again. Good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Johnson. I'm a first-time caller to the program.
Good to have you on the program, sir. I hope it's not your last one.
It shouldn't be.
Tell me.
I'm a frequent listener, but I decided to contribute today after hearing what the Prime Minister commented on earlier, when he addressed what the minister's performance. Mm-hmm. Right. I found that to be very discouraging and distasteful to hear how he addressed it. Where he went along the lines where he says that we should be happy that ministers didn't abandon ship or get tax exemptions for their families. Correct?
I think there was a comment like that was quoted, yes, sir.
Right. What I have to say is, as a minister, I believe they are elected to fulfill duties and represent the ministries, right? Mm-hmm. So I have a few areas to highlight where I felt that they operated inefficiently during their time.
Okay.
So, I want to know, have all the people in White Hill who were complaining for years, have they been relocated as yet, or some still left in danger? That's one. Has any plan been designed as yet to rebuild or restructure the National Stadium? Because I realized when we had in-school sports, the stands weren't used. Everyone was on the cycling track.
The last I saw on that one was that they said they had asked the Chinese and that they wouldn't be funding until, I think, about 2020, that they couldn't afford to assist with it until 2020. So unless we get money from somewhere, that one might be stuck out in limbo for the next couple of years. Okay. Go ahead. I can answer that one because I know the answer. Yes. But I know it's not directed to me. But anyway, go ahead.
Right. Another one I have is, what measures have been put in place to deal with the upcoming Credit Suisse loans, which are due to mature shortly? No. You don't know who will be the next government coming in, but this will be
a Barbados owes it, so Barbados got to pay it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it should be continuously borrowing at the moment, but to me, we're not looking at anything sustainable to grow revenue, so I want to know, it feels as though they were draining the economy, but nothing to sustain it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. Additionally, one last comment here. I remember when Jeremy Stevens was on the radio in the past addressing issues, and then Chris Sinclair's response in Parliament time was that he dismissed whatever the president of the Economic Society had to say, but these issues are still relevant. So it feels as though, I don't know, these people just don't take advice or don't listen to anyone. They feel that they're the best way.
So one of the challenges we face, and thank you, you've made some interesting points in a good manner. So you've batted well for a first timer in this umpire's opinion. Let me say to you that one of the challenges a small society like Barbados faces is you cannot afford to get to the stage where you see everybody as us or them. That's a failing of our first past the post system of governance. And this belief that anyone who says, I don't like this policy, is attacking you and is your enemy and must be attacked personally. It stagnates your growth. If you employ somebody to clean the drain in front of your house And from cleaning the drain in front of your house, he noticed that there's something structurally wrong with your house. He does not have to be an architect to tell you, I see something wrong with the front of your house here while standing up in the drain that you may not see because you're inside and you're not standing in the drain where I am. We have reached this stage here, unfortunately, where unless we, you know, the person standing on the same side of defense with us, we don't want to hear what they have to say. You know, and to me, sir, that's killing our growth. It really is. I thank you for your comments. Moderator, that's a good point you've made about bucking the system. Two centuries ago, Thomas Jefferson, the third U.S. president, suggested that a new constitution should be written for every generation. The folks who wrote the Barbados Constitution didn't know anything, for example, of social media and the internet. Are we likely to see constitutional renewal, not only reform? Carl Moore. Carl, that's one of the things I would like to see us have a look at too, or system of governance or constitution, Representation of the People Act, and how we handle things like power of recall and reports to constituencies and question day in Parliament, and of course the very important communication tools that have emerged over the years. That word social, I have a problem with it. I find social media very unsociable, but I'm told I am antisocial anyhow. So perhaps that's why I have an issue with it. The WhatsApp says, Mr. Johnson, I'm disappointed that in 2018, our political leaders are not willing to have debates, whether televised or on radio, to deal with the important issues facing the country. The voters of Barbados are both mature and educated enough to have this as a feature of our elections by now. Makes me wonder, though, if our politicians are of equal maturity. Brastax, good afternoon. Hello. 434-1790, Brastax, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I want to come in here with some few points. Right? Mm-hmm. They might be a little bit long. Anyhow, okay, the first one, the 11 plus.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people are talking about scrapping the 11 plus, but 11 plus is a system that we have right now. And as you know, systems do not work by themselves. People work systems. There's a disconnect in this present day primary school education. The education that we have now is that we are competing against one another for higher secondary schools. That is the main reason of these primary school, which means it leaves the what we call the slow learner behind. Okay? No one should be leaving secondary primary school to go into the secondary school and cannot handle the basic math and English, because those two subjects are the platform or foundation for any student to build on. Agreed?
It depends on how they are taught, sir.
Exactly. So that's what I'm saying, that we need to get back to the system, the system of making sure that each child in that class do not be left too far behind. What I'm saying, if you're doing two times tables.
Look, when I say how they're taught, if my challenge with our system of testing is that we have reached the stage where we seem to be more concerned about results, so we tell children how to pass a test.
Exactly.
Whether it's an entrance test, whether it's a 11 plus test, whether it's a CXE test, we try to teach, and we stick to this thing called, we have to complete this syllabus because the questions will be asked under this, that, or the other. The practical applications, the interaction, the creation of reasoning has been blocked out of it because we're concentrating on results. And while I hear what people always say about the slow learners, I made a point of air to the people who are here for the People's Parliament on Tuesday. Our fast learners are also not benefiting from the system. They're becoming bored because they're being held back because the person's saying, you can't do this yet, wait till we finish this, where they've long gone past that. Well, I know of a young lady who I think her parents, I worked with both of them at one point. She did the 11 plus as one of the early people. She went through secondary school, went into university and went out while some people were still at secondary school because she was a quick, active learner. And her parents weren't rich people who sent her to private lessons. There were two people earning ordinary wages that I think were below the level of the wage I was earning. But the child was bright, as we just say here, you know, a bright child. So she was able to do it.
Look, we have a gold mine in Barbados that we do not understand or recognize. That is education. And when I speak about education, I'm speaking about technical and vocational education also, yeah, which is foremost. There are two main props of any country. Mm-hmm. That is agriculture and skills. If we call it manufacture and things like that. What is happening, what we need, I heard on the People's Parliament that you were hearing some representatives of different parties saying, okay, keep the children in school until they are 18. That I agree with that 100%. But why they are there these two extra years, what will be the benefit of them staying in school? Mm-hmm. What we need an upgrade of the secondary schools so that we can retrain the teachers to teach the vast majority of skills in the secondary school. No child should be leaving secondary school without at least one skill.
Sir, I can tell you, I benefited tremendously from the 1 year I spent at school in Trinidad and Tobago, because St. Anthony's College had a mechanics lab, an electronics lab, and a refrigeration lab. And anyone in Form 5 and up had to do one of those subjects, must do one of those subjects. I did electronics. But regardless of what you wanted to be, whatever you were pursuing, you had to do a technical. Maybe one day we will start having a few of those to assist with the kind of transition that you're talking about. And exactly. Also, there are children who are scientifically oriented, who can start doing chemistry and doing practical work with computers and writing programs from as young as 10, 11, 12, when we talking about they need to grasp the basics, because they've already grasped the basics and are ready to explore where their minds are taking them at an early age. And that's why I keep saying we have to look both ends of the scale to see how we do the best for our children when we talk about providing them with an education. Because as Karl Moore pointed out just now, times have changed and are continuing to change. So you can't have an education system that was designed for 1957 to 1977 to work in 2027. You have to make the adjustments. You have to.
Exactly. We need a new paradigm shift. But you know what is a big problem in our country? Mm-hmm. We have too many academics in key position
who look down on other
education system.
So some people look down on them, no matter what where they were in the system. Huh? I'm sure you know teachers who said to children, "Man, you can't learn nothing. Go and lift some weights." demotivate, because they just look down on you. Well, that was my experience, so let me keep that as mine.
Mr. Johnson,
yes,
I can tell you because I was in the system for over 30 years. Right? Mm-hmm. And we had, for example, I was at a school where we taught subjects like auto mechanics, mm-hmm, plumbing, mm-hmm, masonry, yeah, electrical.
Mm. And you had people lined up to get in, right?
Pardon?
And you had people lined up to get in? They were learning or they didn't learn?
Exactly. Could you remember, I don't come off now, can you remember that there was an exhibition that used to be held every year?
Yes, sir, I do. Yes, sir, I do.
Right.
Yes, sir,
we had people, we had children who were in the academics,
yeah,
that would come down to the workshop, mm-hmm, with their lunch and eat lunch. Mm-hmm. To try to make something. That was one of the best motivational
tools
for grandma. In the secondary school. But you know what happened?
What happened?
2008 was the last of those institutions.
I remember the former education
officer, Minister of Education. I remember him giving a speech very clearly. He said, I will put $5,000 of my own money for the school that come first. And then I will raise another $5,000 to distribute between other schools. Mr. Johnson, that exhibition, he spoke at that exhibition in 2008, and that was the last time the exhibition was held at Sherburn Center.
Yeah, I remember doing outside broadcasts. So thanks for your contribution. I remember doing outside broadcasts from Sherburn and looking at some of the exhibits there. I remember there was one that struck me, I think it was Twin Sisters who did it, that designed either a type of lamp that if you knocked it over, even though the paraffin, the whatever you use, kerosene, got into it, it would extinguish rather than continue to burn, so that if you know old people knocked over the smut lamp in the night, they wouldn't burn themselves to death. I thought it was a brilliant piece of work. And we got some bright, bright, bright children in our system. We must not frustrate them as well. Brass Tacks, we'll get one more in before the lunchtime edition. If you cooperate, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Johnson. How are
you? Sir, I'm fine. And how are you, man?
I'm fine. I was on the program yesterday, but the time with him permit me to raise the point that I wanted to. So I want to know if you would permit me to finish doing today.
If you can, go ahead.
I was looking at what would have transpired at the events of the launching of both political campaigns. And I am a bit taken back on what I would have seen coming from the government side in their presentation and the assault that would have been made on the leader of the opposition of Barbados. What I would say in that regard, coming out and speaking and attacking the leader of the opposition or individuals or per se on any level, it's not the issue that matters to Barbadians today. What is matter to Barbadians today are the state of the country, what is going on in it, and what will be done to rescue the country from the present position that it is in. And where I become more alarmed is when I would have heard the leader of the country went into the in-depth of saying and talking about bloodlines and went down the line with the bloodline of the leader of the opposition. When I would have read the paper, and yesterday I would have seen somebody responding to it. But what I would say is this. What would have struck me more is this, that when you are going to talk about bloodlines and people ain't got right to inherit things because of bloodlines and so on, I feel something got to be wrong with you, because bloodlines are good and they are bad. And when I look at the leader of the opposition and look at where she came from, her background, where she would have learned and understand the care and the interest of looking after people in a country, I will say that she would have inherited that kind of love and commitment to representing people from her bloodline, which is her grandfather.
Okay, sir, thank you for your contribution. We have to take our break for the lunchtime edition of The Latest. We return. The program goes up until 1:30. So stay with us and we'll continue with your comments on this, the Thursday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Johnson.
Hello.
Hi, Mr. Johnson. For a young person out here, the Prime Minister, no wake up from sleeping. He said everything is wrong. How everything get wrong in 2013?
Stop listening to the radio. I hear you.
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to remember. She did. Esteban Sucu said she will carry a statement to Parliament about the private sector. Right now, we are hearing nothing about it. They got security guards out there. Yes, the government security guards just come and get raised. What we can, what they can help we do to get raised to? They got some firms out there paying $6.24, some pay $5.25, some pay $6. What about we? He said it doing well. What part is doing well? Look at the storage project up there, so the storage inside the road. That real disgusting up there. What part of the country doing well?
Well, that's why they have over the coming 2 weeks to explain what are the good things, what are the things that could be better, the reasons why what were the things that weren't done weren't done. Ma'am, you know, this is one of the challenges I have with our system. One of our first callers, I tried to tell the caller, you have people who will always support a particular party or a particular politician because they quote-unquote like them. To them, like means whatever they do is well done. So there are people who said to me, this election will be 30 by elections. So it don't matter whether I live in St. Thomas and I don't like the Prime Minister, I don't vote in the constituency. Right? So if I live in St. Joseph, South Coast sewage is not my problem because I don't live or pass on the South Coast. The problem with having that kind of thinking is that we seem to believe that the South Coast is in Honolulu and we in, you know, somewhere else. We in Barbados. And if we don't ask about the things that are annoying to Barbados in general, then we have a problem. Unfortunately, again, if you say we have a problem with the South Coast, or we have a problem with buses, or we have a problem with garbage, you then get the comment, you're crying down Barbados, the internet, and people all over the world listening to you, and you want to damage the island, so say nothing. We should have an opportunity where these things are raised with parliamentary representatives, because that's what they get elected to parliament on, representation of the people. So if I live in a gap where there is no garbage collection on a regular basis, that is an issue that my parliamentary representative, whether he sits on the left side, the right side, or in the middle, should be able to raise on my behalf, because it affects me in my constituency. I shouldn't have to wait till election time to hear my elected representative say to me, we can fix your garbage problem. He should have told me that, or she should have told me that, in a face-to-face meeting or an interaction somewhere along the line. Unless and until we get to the stage where people see parliamentary representation as interacting with the people on a regular basis, and the people see their parliamentary representative as someone who speaks on their behalf, whether they're BDU or any other initial, we can have this problem. And in the meantime, we will continue to have the problems on the South Coast, the problems with us and them, and the 1% and the 2%, and all these percentages that we keep thinking. I raised the question earlier about the cost of maintaining a government house and an Alara court on a year-round basis, because it is something we've inherited from the British. Or perhaps it goes back to the first set of people who lived here who had a larger hut in the center of the city. But we have to look at those things and see how well or how we can adapt or change them to the current environment, to how things are today, and where we need to make the cuts and how, and what we need to amalgamate, what we need to scale back. And we cannot continue to think that the only way to do it is to raise salaries and to borrow money. The system is not going to keep working that way. or saying this person responsible for thiefing and that person responsible for spending badly. You need to correct it before it becomes a national crisis. Brass Dax, good afternoon. Hello. We're supposed to be moving the immigration department to down the Princess Alice Highway. How long has that taken? The building this, we're checking that. We've condemned that building. We got buildings that need fixing, renovating, changing the use. The one question I keep asking while we find our caller. We had a gentleman who was in jail who we couldn't figure out whether to send him back to the United States or to Cuba. We fixed the house on the garrison and we put him in it. What happened to the house after he left it? We give it to a fire victim. We give it to an indigent person. It rent out. It growing bush. Who's in charge of governments, buildings, infrastructure, maintenance, and so on, so that they don't become sick buildings and points of contention? With this one saying that one get free, and that person want a house and they can't get one, and they're begging for the last 4 years. These little things, you know, we need order in what used to be a very orderly society. That's one of the things I loved about this country. There was order. And I like order. I like neat and clean and tidy. That's just how I am. Brass Dax, good afternoon.